On Inside special coverage, the one-year anniversary of an officer-involved shooting that changed Sacramento history. CAP Radio reporter Ezra David Romero shares some of the conversations he had as he walked with the marchers. Raheem Hosseini from Sacramento News and Review joins the conversation, too. He has covered this story extensively since last March 18th. And then Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn will join me in the studio. What happens next for his department, for the region? And when might that internal review of the officers be complete? I'm Beth Ruyak. Today, we begin special coverage of the Stephon Clark story. Inside is next. From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Inside special coverage. I'm Beth Ruyak. Marchers walked the streets of Meadowview last night, ending a day of remembrance for Stephon Clark and marking 1 year to the day since that confrontation with police ended in the shooting death of Stephon Clark. This is a story. It's a tragedy that has changed Sacramento, and Stephon Clark is a chapter that's been added to the national dialogue about officer-involved shootings. CAP Radio's Ezra David Romero walked with the crowd last night. He's in the studio with me now. Ezra, thanks for joining us. From Sacramento News and Review, news editor Raheem Hosseini is joining us by phone, and he's covered this story since it began last March 18th. Raheem, glad to have you with us as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So the march followed a full day, Ezra. There was a press conference at the Capitol, then the afternoon memorial. What was the spirit of the people going into the march last evening?
I'd say the spirit wasn't much different than any of the other protests I've been to. There were moments of anger, sadness, sorrow, frustration that things haven't changed in the city for this group of people. It was a little more peaceful overall than the past protests I went to a couple weeks ago, but I'd say the sentiment was the same.
Raheem, people who attended the memorial heard some highly charged comments from Al Sharpton. One quote in particular, he said, "What the DA has done is say that police have the right, based on their imagination, to use deadly force." So will you add to what Ezra just said about the frame of mind of people yesterday?
So Sharpton, you're referring to the comments Sharpton made at the Capitol in the morning, prior to the memorial.
That's right. That's right.
In the evening, right? There is this sense, and since Stephon Clark and since Joseph Mann, 2.5 years ago, like the sense of civic engagement and education about what the law says, and what Sharpton is referring to is that, and what the reason we have AB 932 being proposed right now is because the standard essentially says that if a police officer fears for their safety or the safety of others, they're within their right to use deadly force. So that's what Sharpton is referring to when he speaks of what's in the imagination of an officer rather than what may be the factual circumstances.
I think it's a reflection of the multiple levels that people are walking through this time period. So, Ezra, people gathered last night in the same place that they had come together initially a year ago when they learned that Stephon Clark had been shot. And we've come to know some of the same people and voices throughout this year.
Yeah, you know, I was there last year on that night, and it was a very different mood then also. You know, it was a really charged moment where hundreds and hundreds of people walked through the streets, and people came out of their houses and joined. Last night was a little bit different. There was about 200 people there. But Tanya Faison, she's a leader of Black Lives Sacramento. I think she sums it up perfectly, what went on last night.
Tonight is about commemorating Stephon Clark. It's been 1 year since his death. It almost feels like it was yesterday, especially with the DA's announcement. She kind of reopened wounds.
Is tonight any different than a year ago when we walked the same streets, when we had the same, a similar vigil?
The only difference is that we're worn thin. The people have been waiting this long. We just got the announcement that the officers would not be charged about 2 weeks ago. And the difference is that people have been sitting and waiting a long time to get those responses, to get those answers from our elected officials. And so we're a little bit more somber, but we're still angry, and we're still fighting.
So the DA's announcement that she referred to was that no criminal charges would be filed against the two officers involved. That was echoed by an oversight review by the California Attorney General. But what she speaks to, Ezra, is how much anticipation, and I think I can use the word hope, had been built into what they wanted that announcement to be different than it was.
Yeah, I think there is hope, but I think there is also a sense of like false hope. I think a lot of people knew that wasn't going to happen. What their hope was, these two guys would be charged, and they were not. And so a lot of people I spoke with before that decision was even made had no hope that that was going to go on. And so that was sort of, it was just a false hope, actually, that they were feeling. But this was also a moment that people came out as a teaching moment to bring their kids, to show them that, you know, it's okay to stand up for what you believe in. And I met a guy named Maku Anderson. He brought his 10-year-old son to the march, and he said because he identifies with Clark and he doesn't want his son to live through the same things.
The truth is, he is one of us, you know? I was that kid. I ran from the police. That doesn't mean I should have been shot for it. And then second of all, then lastly, just to bring my son out here and see what it's like to stand, that you can stand up and voice out against injustice. So.
Yeah, what do you want him to learn from tonight?
Just that you can stand up when things aren't right. It's okay to speak up. It's okay to show out, to speak up and show out. You don't have to accept things when things just absolutely, if it makes no sense, stand up against it.
Raheem, in your time spent with marchers and at many protests over the year, what message to you was the strongest in that spectrum of stand up, like Maku just said, versus injustice, versus grief and railing against the system? What did you hear the loudest?
Well, I'd say in the last few weeks, especially in adding to both what Ezra and Tanya said in that recording clip, is there was never an expectation that I heard that the officers would be charged. It was almost an open secret, it felt like, from the community members that the officers would be cleared by the DA. They were just waiting for that decision to be announced. Now, there was a glimmer of hope that the attorney general might rule differently. But you have to understand, they're both grading the same homework, essentially, which is the Sacramento Police Department's investigation of the shooting. So the community never felt like that's how they were going to get what they feel is justice. But I think what really struck out to me was that not just the DA's decision, but how the DA presented her decision, and it's been pretty heavily scrutinized since then, that she focused a lot on the contents of Stephon Clark's cell phone and imagining the state of mind he might have been in. That really bolstered a lot of community members and almost like galvanize them in a way to push for, legislative changes to march more forcefully. It sort of boosted their energy in a weird way and provided them more momentum.
That's Raheem Hosseini. He's news editor at Sacramento News and Review. I'm also talking with Cap Radio's Ezra David Romero. We're going to get into a phrase here that is sensitive, a point of contention for people, and that is suicide by cop. And I only bring that up because that was part of the DA's conversation in presenting the contents of Stephon Clark's cell phone. But you, Ezra, talked to a marcher last night that had a completely separate experience and dialogue about this topic.
Yeah, this trauma, you know, of a black son or brother or uncle being killed by a policeman or policewoman was sort of the moment all night. There was moments where we stopped and we talked. They talked about those things. And I spoke with a woman named Deborah Slay. You know, she says she marched for her son who tried to commit suicide by cop 4 years ago here in Sacramento. And she said what was different in that incident was that a policewoman yelled phone when they saw her son didn't have a gun. So let's hear from her.
I'm here because that could have been the difference between life and death for Stephon Clark. Someone being brave enough and taking notice and taking the time and not just assuming that what he had in his hand was a gun. So that's why I'm here.
We experienced the pain of the Clark family throughout the year, publicly and vividly. And the city really worked in partnership over the last couple of days, I believe, to make sure these events happened as the family wanted. And you've been talking to the family along the way, Ezra.
Yeah, there was a teen summit. There was a mother's brunch. You know, there was a day of peace and love, and then there's a commemoration. And then there was this vigil and march by Black Lives Matter. And, you know, the family came out last night. I don't think they were expected to come to this march, but there was this sort of beautiful moment where everyone met by this big park. They circled in the streets, and people were invited to come into the middle and to talk about other people that had been killed by police. And they would yell their names and tell their stories and chant their names again. And somewhere in that, Stephon Clark's mother, Sequette, showed up, and let's hear from her.
I'm a mother who's reminded every day when I wake up that my son was brutally murdered in my mother's backyard. For my mother and my daughter, my 7-year-old daughter, to watch him die, to run into the backyard and watch him die, watch them cuff him as he's dying with his feet kicking. That's what my baby says. His feet were kicking, mommy. This is not right. I thank each and every person here for risking y'all day, night, your livelihood to be here to support the injustice done to my son. God bless all of your lives. Thank you.
That was Stephon Clark's mother, Sequette Clark, speaking last night. The atmosphere of last night, as you can hear from everybody, was calm and focused and much different than the march and protests that happened on March 4th when 84 people were arrested.
Yeah, from the get-go, there were police in the distance, but a couple on bikes or a couple on motorcycles. But that was very different than when a group of similar protesters marched throughout the Fabulous 40s in East Sacramento, where there were obvious police out. Tons of them. And, you know, there were escalating moments between police and protesters. And that's not what happened last night. They were always in the distance. And I'm not aware of any interaction really between police and the people marching. Tanya Faison, she leads Black Lives Matter Sacramento. She believes she understands why. You know, she thinks where they're in two different neighborhoods where there's not a concentration of wealth in the same way. So let's hear from her.
But I think it backfired on them, and they saw that they used too much force with the people, and they hurt the people, and it only made them look bad. We're not bothering rich white folks. We're in the hood with other black people.
We're going to talk with Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn in just a few moments, and we'll talk more about the handling of last night. But for you, Raheem, and also for Ezra, I do want to get to the point of whether this is an ending. Is this a beginning? What is this moment in time for not only the Clark family, but the entire region of people who have become invested in what's happened here? Raheem?
Well, I wonder if Ezra saw the same thing, but I heard, and I think there was a speaker toward the end last night who actually spoke to it, but there's a sense of weariness, which is understandable. It's been a whirlwind few weeks, but I think on a macro level, what's been so remarkable about Stephon Clark's story is how sustainable it has been as a motivating force. And here we are a year later, and there's a bill at the state level that perhaps has a better chance of passing than it did last year, right around the time of Stephon Clark's death. And I think you're going to continue to see, even with these spots of weariness and ebbs and flows, I think you're going to see a continued momentum and other people carrying the ball, even if the family needs to step back for a moment and take care of itself.
Ezra?
I would say the same. Everyone I talked to did say they're weary, they're worn thin. That's what Tanya Faison said earlier, Stephon Clark's mother and brothers, that this has been the worst year of their lives. But I don't think this is something that's going away. You know, this is a moment where everyone has a cell phone in their pocket. You know, you're dealing with a population of people that have been killed by police many times. And so I don't think this is going away. And they're actually saying that they're not going away, that their message isn't stopping, and that they're going to still meet in front of the police department on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to make a place for people to come and to protest and to, you know, just like they did at the DA's off district attorney's office for almost 53 weeks. They had a barbecue out there 3 days a week. They just held place, and that's what they're saying they're going to continue to do. This issue is not going away in Sacramento for them.
Thank you both for your conversation and your coverage of the events yesterday and throughout the past year. That is CAP Radio reporter Ezra David Romero and Sacramento News and Review news editor Raheem Hosseini. Sacramento Police Chief Daniel Hahn is standing by. He will join me in a moment to continue this conversation. This is Insight Special Coverage on CAP Radio.